So we see there that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And verses 9 and 10, we have a list there. It's not an exclusive list, of course. But do you recognize yourself in that list? Do you see yourself there? Do you see yourself there even now as a Christian? If we go to Galatians 19 again, Galatians 5 verse 19, another list, very similar list, how about that? Do you see yourself there? Even as a Christian, do you see yourself in that list? Do you see something of that in your heart? Galatians 22, that verse 22. There's another list. How about that? Do you see yourself in this nicer list, if you like? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you see yourself in that list? If you do, why do you see yourself in that list? If you're concerned that you don't see yourself in that list, well, this is a wonderful passage. Both of them are wonderful passages, but in 1 Corinthians, we there have in that chapter 6, if I can just find the exact verse, is it verse 11? And that is what some of you were. That's how we were, weren't we? Perhaps we see something of ourselves like that now, that bad list of the sinful nature showing itself. But if we don't see anything of ourselves there, or if we never have seen anything of that in us, then are we really Christians? Because we were like that, weren't we? That's how we were. This is a wonderful passage there in verse 11. But, you know, some of you were like that, but not anymore, because something has happened and something wonderful has happened to us. We've got there right towards the end of that 1 Corinthians 6 that we read. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? These buts in the Bible. But you were washed. And what we're going to look at tonight is faithfulness and or unfaithfulness. And what we can put in there is, but you were washed from your unfaithfulness. You were sanctified, or we could put it like this, or you have now been set aside. You've been called to be faithful. And it goes on. And you are now faithful, made to be faithful in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's the state that we're in. That is what God is doing with us. But what is it to be faithful, or what is it to be unfaithful? Perhaps we have some ideas of that already. I'm going to get you to be doing the work tonight, so you can't be falling asleep. I've got two sets of sheets for you, so you can work as threes or fours or however you want to work. And just some questions. And the first question that's going to be, how would you actually define faithfulness? What is faithfulness? So if I distribute these out, there are just five questions, so we'll just spend literally 5 minutes for you to go through these. And they are quite extensive questions, really, because you'll be going backwards and forwards through the Bible. But it will give us an idea of what faithfulness is and unfaithfulness. Who is faithful and who is not faithful? So I'll just quickly distribute these round, and then you can have a look at those. If you want to break up into threes or fours, little groups. and literally 5 minutes or so to scan through those questions. My apologies, I have no pens, so you can mentally make a note on the pieces of paper. Hopefully you're on the second question now. So if you haven't moved on to the second question, move on to the second question.
Yeah.
Where are you at the moment?
We're on three, okay.
Where are you? You're on four, great. Good. Four. Which one? You're on four, are you? Or
no,
five?
Five.
Brilliant. How far are you through? Four. How far? I will do. Yeah. How you doing? Move on. Not everyone. No. Did I say every?
Are you coming? Making us work faster.
Yeah. Oh, you're on four. That's good. You should be at least on question four now. Going on to five. So you should be concluding question five now. You've finished. Okay, if you can put your pens down. The examination is now over. So,
what job do you do?
I've no idea. So there were five questions there, and there's a lot of material actually, isn't it, really, when you start digging into the Bible. But the first question there is, before you really started digging into the Bible, how would you actually define faithfulness, and what did you actually put down there? So what sort of answers did you initially put down? First of all, faithfulness. Loyalty, okay.
Consistent.
Steadfast.
Keeps promises.
Trustworthy. Reliable.
True.
What was that one?
Enduring.
True, you said. How do you mean true? Okay, okay. Staying true. Anything else we can add to that? Devoted.
Denying self.
Interesting, yes. In faithfulness.
It's always relational to something.
Relational, that's an important thing, isn't it, actually? Faithfulness. Okay, moving on to question two. I bunged in there the Ten Commandments. If you're being unfaithful, which sort of Ten Commandments would you be breaking? Oh, okay. That was a trick question. Yeah. One, two?
1 and 8.
1 and 8. 1, 2, 8. 7.
1 and 8. 8.
Lying. You're bringing lying. No, that's 9. So you don't.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven. Sorry, I thought it was eight.
Right.
Just how I've been saying to Paul, I'm not doing number
eight. That's stealing, isn't it? Number eight.
Sorry.
Okay. So those Ten Commandments are again relational, either to God, and particularly in the context of Galatians that we're reading there, it's more relational to others, and of course that's what. That the latter part of the Ten Commandments refers to, relational to each other. Okay then, so what Bible characters were faithful? And how? How were they faithful? I threw one in there just to... Hebrews 11, okay. So just pick an example from Hebrews 11 and say how that person was faithful.
Abraham.
And how was he faithful? Okay, okay. So faithful to God himself. Okay, and was not.
Noah.
Believed God. Okay, they're all with respect to God at the moment. How about others with respect to Jonathan, with David? Okay. You weren't just trying to get my attention, were you? Yeah. Jonathan, faithful to David.
Yeah.
Ruth. Any other? So there's quite a lot there, isn't there? How about unfaithful then? We've mentioned David just then, and the how. And I had obviously. He was unfaithful with respect to, committing adultery, the seventh commandment, breaking that.
Demas.
Tell me about Demas. Ah, yes, Paul. That's right, yeah. So forsaking.
Jonah.
Yeah.
Peter.
Okay, yeah.
Saul.
Saul the king. Okay, well, that's a good one. Yeah. So making promises and not keeping them. Yeah.
Judas,
yeah. Sapphira. Right, yeah. Yeah. So the Bible is honest, isn't it? It declares who's unfaithful as well, even amongst our heroes. Okay, the last one, number five. There was lots of passages there. Perhaps you looked at all of them. Perhaps you looked at some others. I don't know. What sort of answers have you got? How is God faithful? So when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And any other?
Question one of it.
In what way?
Well, everything you were saying, question one, applies to God.
Is, right, okay.
The very definition of faithfulness.
Is compared with God himself. He's the one that's faithful, yeah.
That is a seeming contrast to the Muslims, who is seen as capricious. You can never quite be sure of your acceptance.
That's interesting,
but,
isn't it?
Can you read that God is faithful and just?
Right, yeah, 1 John.
That's what we can rely on here.
Yeah. That's a powerful, encouraging passage, isn't it, that 1 John? God is faithful and just. He's faithful to forgive us our sins. Yeah, if we confess our sins. It starts off, doesn't it, of course.
He's
yeah, so he doesn't throw justice out the window at all. He's a fair God. He doesn't just forget about sin. He's faithful to us, isn't he, in that he respects us if we sin, well, he respects the fact that we've sinned and we suffer the consequences of it unless Christ pays that debt. Okay, so that is something about the definition of faithfulness, and others have used some other words, and I've heard some of them tonight here, about absolute honesty. God is absolutely honest, and that's how we should be. We should be true, absolutely honest. No white lies, no exaggeration. That is difficult, isn't it? So easily to exaggerate something. God is absolutely honest, and we should be absolutely honest. We should have respect for truth. Absolutely dependable, and that came out. I heard there terms like reliability. Absolute dependability. What we say, we'll do. Dependable to God, dependable to each other as well. Absolute honesty, absolute dependability, reliability, faithfulness. Okay, more homework. So the object of our faithfulness, so in the same sort of groups, just the two questions, but it's Ephesians 5 and going into 6. Really just be a combine harvester and just glean over the passages as quickly as you can. But take out some points in answering the two questions I've got here. Try and distribute these. If I can pass those back. Again, exaggerated 5 minutes again to work through these questions. So in case you can't read my writing, and I notice a spelling mistake on there as well, so the object of our faithfulness, well, who should be faithful to? Who should we be faithful to? Ephesians 5, 1 through to Ephesians 6, 9. And then the first question from the passage, who, I can't even read my own writing. From the passage, who are the, or should be, the objects of our faithfulness? Who should we be faithful to? So glean the passage to see how the Apostle Paul says that we should be faithful to. And then the next question there is, from this passage, how, so the who and the how, should we practice being faithful? So we should be coming to a conclusion. So a few more moments to come to a conclusion. Okay then, so those two questions. Who in that passage should we be faithful to? So being faithful is a relational thing. So how who are we to be faithful to from that passage? Husbands and wives.
Everyone.
Okay, if we can break everyone into sort of categories. Sorry, that's how my mind works. Because, well, the Apostle Paul himself, as he goes down there, he does deal with different groups. And we've got the group there, husbands and wives. We've got the church fellowship, because the Apostle Paul is directing all these things at the Ephesians and the other passages we're looking at, that we should be faithful to each other, the church, members of the church.
Songs. Very much
right. Yeah.
Faithfulness towards each other.
Yeah. Definitely.
Faithful to Christ, as He was to God.
Right.
And to God.
And He's the example, isn't He?
And He's
yeah.
Holy.
Holy. Right.
Those in authority.
And then. Employers and employees to be faithful. But how, going on to that next question, how do we do that as employers and employees? How are we to be faithful?
Work wholeheartedly.
So not expect too much from your boss.
No.
The other way around. Not expect too much from you. Okay, yeah. To show your employees respect. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it, really? Whatever we do in all these relationships, whether it's in the family, the husband or wife, the children, relationship to your parents' relationship, whatever it is, it's respecting each other, but out of respect for God, because He's watching. Okay, so if we can go back to 1 Corinthians, if there's not anything else that anyone wants to contribute to that.
Well, she just mentioned the first four words of the passage is the key to all of those relationships.
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love.
We'll never be faithful just respecting each other unless we are striving to imitate God in all those relationships.
Unless we have a relationship,
yeah.
A daily relationship with our Saviour, we can't be.
Right,
he
right.
Says without, John, without
being in the vine.
Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord.
Finding out what is acceptable, what pleases, what is pleasing to God. Yeah.
And submission and obedience is right through the passage as well.
Right, yeah.
And putting the old nature to death, having nothing to do with sin.
Right. Shun from it. Shun it, yeah. It's quite detailed, isn't it, really, that even the most smallest sin is deadly. Something that we might think, I mentioned it earlier about exaggerating. The smallest exaggeration is not being faithful. It's a lie. Okay, what 1 Corinthians? I think it's in this one. If we just go back, just to draw some thoughts together, that 1 Corinthians 6, that verse 11. We can't be proud and arrogant, can we? Because we, left to ourselves, we are unfaithful. If we don't imitate Christ, if we don't stay close to Him, then it's so easy to go astray. It's so easy, not only for the world to pollute us, but our own hearts, as it were, to to lead us astray. And that verse 11 says, and that is what some of you were. We were like that. But this is the gloriousness of the gospel, isn't it, here? This but. We were washed. Our unfaithfulness that was, that is now, our unfaithfulness that is to come even, has been washed away because of what Christ has done for us. And you were sanctified. And now we have been sanctified. We've been set apart for holy purposes. We have a calling. This is our calling. It's not necessarily that we're called to be here in Netley, or we're called to go to Bulgaria, or we're called to be a lawyer or a GP. We may be. God may call us to these things, but this is the primary calling, isn't it? That you have been set apart, Christian. Me and you, we've been set apart to be faithful. That is, to be absolutely honest in all our dealings, in our family, in our dealings in the world, at work, to be absolutely honest. And that is hard going, isn't it? That does require, but we can't do it. We have to be daily, as you've been pointing out, before the Lord for help to do that. Absolutely honest and absolutely dependable. Because it's God we're serving. And you were justified. We have been made faithful in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Christ has done, and by the Spirit of God. There was a phrase to conclude with. There's a phrase that I was trying to put together that Al Martin came up with. The gist of the idea, I've not quite got it right, but the gist is there. Christian, faithfulness now characterizes your life. Yes, you may fail, but now unfaithfulness does not have an increasing, habitual, dominant influence in your life. That's how we are. We're being transformed. That is what God is doing with us, turning us into faithful people. So to conclude with, just read that verse 11. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Amen. Thanks, Andy.